Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
To the fatherless, defender of the weak, freedom for the prisoner, we sing. This is God in His holy place. This is God clothed in love and strength. To provide every breath and every step, we sing. This is God in His holy place. This is God clothed in love and strength. Sing out.
tell you, you know, there might be times in the Lord that we'd be going along and knowing that we need the power of God. Amen. Find ourselves in a place that, you know, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do this in my own power. Praise God. But by the Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. It's good to be home. Appreciate the brethren and the families of God here and trying to keep things rolling and going while we're gone. And we had a wonderful trip. I believe a successful trip. I want to be a wise steward of my time. Getting a little older, knowing my days are shorter than they were a few years back. You know, it's a shame that a man has to get up in age before he starts considering real stewardship. But you know, if we read the Bible, our life's like a vapor and a mist. It's here for a moment and gone. And I told you about listening to my father cry over there on my porch a few years ago, saying, son, I did things I loved to do, man, but I wasn't a dad. I failed as a father. And I thought, gosh, it's got to be a heartbreaking thing for a man to come to a revelation of such. I could talk about the great deeds and things that he done that I'm so thankful for that he imparted into me. But he imparted a lot of things that would put me in hell likewise. So, but it's sad, you know, that men come to that kind of place. I hear Brother Ed giving a, we could call it a public apology there on the internet. People tuned in. And sometimes people don't understand. And they'll make analyzation or some kind of a godly judgment, they may think, and thinking, well, you know, I don't agree with that. But, you know, sometimes they're totally wrong, brother, and they'll have to get over it too. But, you know, no, we don't want to be just crude and rude and strong and just push our way through things. But we're in a snowflake society. Everybody wants to be petted, and you got to say it softly and kindly. And men don't know how to work no more. Don't know how to take corrective criticism. I was talking with a brother here the other day, and I'm not against with some of these ways, brother, and I know that we win souls. But the evangelical way, you know, through the many years of the Baptist church and Billy Graham and stuff, I want all eyes closed. I don't want anybody looking around. Now, if you want to accept Jesus, you know, nobody looking. I don't want nobody looking around. Slip your hand up. Well, you sissy sucker, if you ain't got enough strength to stand up and say, I need to get born again, you ain't never going to walk with God. You know, and if you got to do it all in secret and stuff like that, you know, we need a testimony for the Lord, you know. And these guys get in there and they don't want nobody to see them and stuff. And then they say some little prayer and they're going to hell. Yep. We need a bold testimony for Christ. We don't need to be ashamed of the name Jesus. Amen. When we're in our workplace, we don't talk about the big guy upstairs. We call him by name. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, and you say, well, Brother Rob, not everybody's like that. Well, that's what they need to be.
That's right.
You know, we don't need to be ashamed of our testimony for Christ. I just don't believe in, you know, I heard a man trying to win some souls when I was there at Bethlehem. And his testimony was, well, you know, I was out there in the world seeking all these things, but we had them all right here in the church. He's talking about his daddy's possessions and his airplanes and boats and motorhomes and things like that. And I'm thinking, that ain't no way to win no soul. You know, it's a, we don't bring people in by monetary things. You know, if you want to get real about it, you know, you better equip yourself with a mind to suffer. Amen. And you better gird up your loins and get your sissy off of you. Start acting like a man. Amen. And get ready to fight a good fight of faith and get ready to press your way into the kingdom of God and get ready to fight against the principalities and the powers of darkness. You say, well, you'll never win anybody in like that. Well, the ones I win in got strength and they'll stand.
Amen.
So you go ahead and bring your sissies in and you bundle them all over there at your bundled church up over there for the fire. You know, and I'll get some men of valor over here that are ready to go. Amen. You know, like, you know, the army recruiter is the only one that acts like an evangelist. Oh, you get to visit, you get to go over to this country, and boy, look at the beautiful white sand over there. The only white sand you'll see is riddled with blood when you're a soldier. You know, it ain't going to be so pretty when you get over there. Amen. So that army recruiter is going to tell you a bunch of stuff, you know. So the thing is when you join the army, you don't think about, you want to probably kill that recruiter. You know, when you got some drill sergeant in your face screaming at you and got breath like a horse, you'd probably be thinking, you know, I've slapped a lot of guys for a lot less than this, but you better shut your mouth. Because he's going to teach you to be a man. Amen. You love the Lord tonight. I know I got you standing. Let's pray together and we'll go to the scriptures here in just a moment. Father, I thank you, Lord, for a family of God and a brotherhood. I thank you for men of valor, people with strength, Lord God. that know how to endure hardships, Lord, know how to stand. When they've done all they can do to stand, they continue to stand. And Lord God, when we find us in the state as a man in our weakness, Father, then we draw strength from our Heavenly Father, Lord, and we continue and continue and continue to stand. Father, help us, lead us, direct us, guide us, teach us. Lord God, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, Brother Ed, making again apology here at the beginning of the service. I remember we was having a service here many years ago. A visitor came out. Visitor is a nice word for the reprobate, stinking. Stinking, is that a bad word to call a whoremongering preacher?
That's the compliment.
Yeah. And the Bible says a stench in the nostril. I think a stench stinks, right? So I think it's okay for me to say that preacher stunk. You know, it was a stench in the nostrils of God, whoremonger. And he come here and thought I was going to get him up here to sing and maybe preach. And he was looking for a reason to go, and I refused to pray for a man that came up in the altars. I told the man, I said, you just need to go sit back down. I'm not going to pray for you, because I said, you didn't take the counsel that I gave you. And I said, there's no need you to come because you didn't take the counsel and then ask for prayer to fix what you didn't receive the counsel of. So just go take care of it yourself. And the man got him and walked out. Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, those are the kind of people I don't apologize if they get offended. Those are the kind of people I rejoice in the Lord when they walk out so we didn't like him in the midst or in our presence. You say, but Brother Rob, you're a soul winner. You should be helping him and loving him. I would if he would have sat still. But he got up and left. He didn't like the counsel of the Lord. Amen. And they'll always leave when the counsel of the Lord, when the correction comes. Brother Pike made a statement about it. Many ministers that would come through. He said, we'll find out if they're real, if they could stand under the rod of correction. And some can't take it. Some could give it, but can't take it. Amen. And you say, can you take reproof, Brother Rob? I could probably send you a few messages of Brother Pike's, and you could see I sat under a good many. Amen. I tell you, and I'm thankful for a man of God, a real, true, genuine preacher. We had a good trip. We had an invitation to minister for Brother Mike and them down there, and there was... It wasn't a real pressing need by no means, but I felt in my spirit that to make an evaluation of my time, and I had a certain amount of time to see a certain amount of people, and that's the thing I look for, the opportunity to fellowship. When I've gone out on the evangelistic field, preached in churches in different countries and different things, I was looking for the opportunity to sit down and talk to some pastors. And I love doing that, speaking to them. And in this trip, I get opportunities, and we got opportunities to minister in prisons. And we turned down an opportunity to minister on Friday. Probably would have had probably about the same amount as we did last time, about 150 men. And had an opportunity. And you say, well, that's what you should have done. So I follow the Lord, and sometimes you leave 99 and go after one. Amen. But we had good, wonderful fellowship, and Brother Scott's part of our family. He's part of the family of God, and he's a brother to you and I. Some of you haven't met him. Some of you have. They're part of this family, and keep them in prayer. Sister is, trying to understand and learn our doctrine. Understand why some of these things. Some people could easily just go to obedience and say, well, this is what it is and do it. And I appreciate that. But I don't mind people struggling with things, because once they get it, they'll hang on to it. Ones that are hard to turn, sometimes they're hard to turn back. But the ones that come in too easy, they'll flop just as fast going out. I've witnessed that over the years. When people question me, or question what I believe or my convictions, or question them, doesn't trouble me, and it doesn't make them bad people. Brethren, if you could understand the heart of a man, and he never says a word to you and question you, but if you're in the spirit of the Lord and you discern his spirit and his thoughts and the intent of his heart, you'll find he's questioning you. Amen. So you're dealing with questions all the time, even when they're not asked or spoken. Amen. Went on from there down to a prison called Alburas. And we got some good one-on-one fellowship with a gentleman in there. He seems to be really drawn from the things of God. He's been centering himself in Brother Pike's messages. And he was being tutored and indoctrinated by some men that supposedly came out from a man that was supposed to be under Brother Pike. And he was drawing back. This man was drawing back. He didn't even want to listen to Brother George because of the stinking foolishness that some of these men that think they got the revelation and the spiritualism, I could say, and the foolishness. And this guy was drawn completely back. But he said something kept drawing with Brother Pike's literature into his preaching. And he had many, many sermons of Brother Pike's, and he kept listening. And he said, these guys ain't preaching what this preacher is. And he made a contact to me a few weeks back, maybe a few months back, and started speaking to me and asking me questions and talking to me about things, and was very cautious. Another one, Brother Melvin Tabb, likewise. He was indoctrinated in a lot of things in prison, seeing a lot of things. And he started listening to me, and he said, this is different. But they're telling him, say, Brother Rob ain't got the revelation. He don't understand what we understand. I sure do understand what they understand. I'll tell you this. I understand it perfectly clear what they understand. And what they understand, they are taking the revelational doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're bringing it to themselves. That means they're not crucified, and they're not dead. They are still alive in their flesh. And they take these things to themselves, and they try to lord over other people's heritage with the revelational doctrine of strength and power. And they bring people into a bondage and into a restraints, and they bind them. Amen. And it's a sad place to come to and a sad thing to see. You will feel empowered. You'll feel strong. I made a statement to this individual, and I'm going to explain this. I'm going to keep it as decent in perspective as I can, and using a revelation. You know, with all decency, the Bible said the marriage bed is undefiled in all of its ways. You know, we think of the purity of the marriage relationship, and bringing forth children, you know, and things. It's a beautiful thing. Children are beautiful, and the little beautiful babies and things. It's all beautiful in the pure mind of Christ and the mind of God. And when you think of men, you know, they're married, they have a wife, the relationship, you know, there's, we could use terminologies of even enthusiasm or a zeal in a relationship. Shows a church service. You know, people get up and shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It shows the exuberance of a relationship. We, you know, the doctrine, when there's a seed that remaineth in you, keepeth you from sin. This sin comes through the marriage relationship by being married unto our Lord and Savior Jesus, by being that virgin bride. And you enter in with him, and this is when the seed is imparted into your spirit. And this is the reproduction of God, the image of God. Amen. Just as a man reproduces his image by planting the seed within the earthen vessel of the woman, his wife. All runs the same thing in the beauty of revelation, you know. But then yet we have whoremongers, perverts, people that are involved in sexual perversions. They're never satisfied, never enough. And you have, now let's take a look at this for a minute as an allegory. Now listen close here. This be something that maybe help you understand the church world. Now, when I say church world, brethren, I'm not speaking about the body of Christ, okay? I know that we could talk about, you know, a lot of things, but there's an apostate church or a fallen, you know, one or an imitation or whatever, a counterfeit. But when we look at the church world, now let's go back to the purity of a marriage. A man has a desire for his wife. God gave him that. The wife has a desire for the man. God gave her that. And it's pure and undefiled. Amen. But when a man leaves that natural aspect with the exuberance of that relationship, and he goes out with women and he becomes a whoremonger, and never enough women, always searching. He is in the exuberance of a relationship with no fathering in it. He may put a seed in a woman. She may have a child. She may have to rear this thing up herself, take care of it, and do all that. But the man doesn't care. When he has one thing in mind and one desire in mind, and that is to give his seed with the exuberance thereof, without the thoughts of the tutoring, the raising, the being a father or a dad, and teaching this child. He doesn't care. Tell the woman whatever she wants to hear, just for he could exercise that. Now that's a whoremonger. But now let's go and look at it to the evangelist of United States of America. The same filthy, perverted thing. They don't care about the souls. They're going to say whatever, manipulate the women, supposed to be the bride. But there's another dimension, the flesh, the woman. And they're going to say whatever. They're going to move however. They're going to say whatever, the church and the denominations. And they're looking for one thing, the exuberance of the relationship. Let me tell you, when they get in the church, boy, the rain comes down and it's the same emotion. You understand what I'm saying? And there's going to be a seed going forth with no strength and no power in it, no virtue, no anointing in it. And the thing is that they're whoremongers in another dimension. But people are all excited about it. So now you look in America and you see the perversion and the filth and the adultery, the fornication, the out-of-wedlock marriages, and all of the immorality. And people don't understand the purity of godliness and holiness and righteousness. So we look at things and observe things, and we have to find the mind of it, the thoughts of it, the revelation of it, and what it is. Amen. Brethren, we look for strength and power. Lord's put some things on my heart, and may the Lord allow me to speak. You know, I got to examine my own heart. I think of myself. When I was at Bethlehem sitting under Brother Pike, I loved mission work, going in the mission field and doing some evangelism. I was doing that before I met him. I pulled myself off the evangelistic field and I sat under him. And I made a statement. I said, if I never preach the gospel ever again, that's okay with me. Because I know this is where I'm supposed to be. And I was getting corrected. And I was having surgery done on me. I was being opened up and there were things that had been imparted into me through denominations and previous years of not being under revelational doctrine. So I was found myself on the surgical table on many, many occasions, and the minister being skilled with his hands and knowing what he was doing, taking things out of me. And he was imparting things into me at the very same time. And he had to find and learn how to have this skill of how much can I take out without killing him. You know, how much can I get of this tear nature of that fleshly man out of here? He wanted to get a root, deep impartation of a root, a taproot in the things of God, of the Spirit, the real things. And he worked and labored with me, and I'm thankful for that. And I find myself learning the skill of a physician by sitting under a great physician that had a love for people and a love for souls. Amen. So speaking, you know, about differentiation, discernment, watching, trying to find what's the motivating factor. Some of you might remember that message. It went back many years ago. What is the motivating factor for what you do? What's motivated you? What is driving you? What is pushing you? So I look at people, and the motivating factor, we would look at the first appearance, think, well, it's got to be the Spirit of God, because he's wanting to preach the gospel. It's got to be the Spirit of God, because he's wanting to win souls. So it must be the motivation of God. That's what it would appear to be and appear to look. But if we look a little closer, you see, just as I spoke about the exuberance, when the man, if you look at it, when he meets the girl, oh man, you're beautiful. Guy, you've got to be the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. You know, it ain't long. Man, I love you. Oh, I tell you what, your eyes sparkle like eyes I've never seen. We can go over to Psalms, the Psalms of Solomon, and I can get some words, you know, about some pomegranates and saying all these things and how beautiful everything is and, you know, and express some real beauty to this woman and take her off of her feet with flattery and she falls into the pit of fornication with you. So, you know, it all looks good, it sounds good, it sounds glamorous, and it could even be mistaken as love. But when you get down to the end of the matter, there was no love there at all. There was another intention altogether. Another motive and another intention. 100% altogether different than what you thought. When we understand the seduction of a woman, the seducing powers of the Antichrist and Satan, and then we start looking into another realm and understanding the shrewdness of the seducing spirits and powers and principalities. Amen? So we have to learn. You say, Brother Rob, you make it all sound so terrible. Well, the only way I could express terrible isn't even scratch the surface of the grossness, of the darkness. There are just no words of expression to express how the violations are in our world that we live in today. You know, by hearing of some of the violations to women and men and children, it's heartrending and heartbreaking to think that even a father would be so ungodly, so terrible, that would harm one of his babies or a child. So we see all these things and we know that they're just an allegory. They're just a pattern of another world. So when we get into the grotesqueness and the abomination of the spiritual wickedness and spiritual darkness, it is unreal. I mean, it's so heartrending and heartbreaking to see the things that would take place and happen. To be able to continue to function and to push and to press and to overcome evil with good and to love when you're being persecuted and hated. Amen. But you know what? We keep pressing and we got a smile on our face because we enjoy doing what we do because we love the Lord with all of our heart. Amen. So we keep ourselves strong in the Lord, walking in the power and the anointing and the virtue of the Lord. Amen. You love him tonight? I'm going to speak a little bit, and we're going to read out of Matthew 25, if you'll turn your Bibles with me. We're going to go over to about the 14th verse. Just bear with me for a moment. I don't want you to go over and start reading as of yet. But before I read this, the Lord was dealing with me about investment. Now, you heard me say that I've spoke about it a little bit here in the last few weeks, I should say. But you have one life to invest. It started out. That's all you got. And you could run this thing. You could run after your own will, your own pleasures, your own things, and you invested a bad investment. A terrible investment. You invested in yourself, in your will, your wishes, your desires, your wants, your ambitions, your ministries. Your ministry could be like the Bible said, a man running and beating at the air and accomplishing nothing. The sad thing about the ministry today, the very sad thing is that, you know, it doesn't matter. When I wanted to be an aviator, I'd look and find me a good one. I'd find me one. I happened to grow up in a house with a good one. I think about Brother George's boys that grew up in a house with one of the greatest preachers that I ever met. You know, I know some of you probably met some greater, more revelation. I hear those things all the time. But I'm just telling, all I could testify, it was the greatest, most powerful man of God I ever met. He was accurate. He was clean. He was pure. He never lied to me, cheated me, robbed me. And he taught me and he loved me. I got all respect for him. And I'm thinking about the opportunities that his children had raising up in that home under this great man of God. But then yet I got one brother that put a gun in his head and blew his brains out. Another one that goes off into prison and all these different kind of things that raised up in the same house I did. And my dad taught me to be honest and taught me how to work and different things. He didn't teach me about God. There was never Christianity in my home. Never seen a prayer said in my home all my years raising up. Never heard a prayer. Never prayed over a meal. Nothing. Like I said, the only time I heard the Lord's name, it was usually slander and cursing. So we're looking at judgment, analyzations, and understandings. So we talk about the failures in a natural home. Now I find myself over in a spiritual home, being indoctrinated and tutored, a man fathering me in the gospel, we may say, for expression's sake, a man tutoring me, a man discipling me. Disciple has the root of the word is discipline. And believe me, there was a lot of discipline at the place called Bethlehem, disciplining me into a way of life and a way to live and a way to walk. Amen. But again, when we speak of an investment, I could talk about my natural father was teaching me to invest as a young kid, talking about investment. I rented a house. My wife and I had my first child when I was 17 years old, and I was renting a house. My dad said, why are you renting? He said, you're wasting your money. He said, you need to buy a house. Well, man, at 17 years old, I never really thought about it. You know, hey, I thought it was doing pretty good to have a house, if it was rental or whatever. You know, most of my friends were still at home with their mom and dad. And he's telling me I need to buy a house. And that's what I did. I purchased my first home at 17 years old. And I didn't know I could do that. But he's put it in my spirit. He said, hey, you can do it. Go down. I went to a real estate company and talked to them. They started putting things together. Told me how much money I had to have. I went and borrowed the money from a friend. Wasn't from my dad. My dad didn't do that kind of stuff as a rule. He made us press and learn how to do it. I made another investment deal with a man, paid him back in a short order of time. A friend, and he helped me, but I bought a home. Investment. Now, we talk about investment. So I invest over here to help this man in business and the man fails. I think we all understand investment in somewhat. And most of the time when we think of investment, we always go to the financial aspect, don't we? Well, I'm going to invest $500 into this. I'm going to see what kind of return I get back. Well, people that are investing in money and finances, they should be looking for what the return is. The Bible said put the bread on the water. You know, and if it doesn't come back, then we need to do something different. So I believe in investment. So we switched dimension just as we were speaking earlier about a relationship, understanding a relationship in the natural world to bring forth children. And we go over in the spiritual world. And we got someone who could care less about rearing and raising children and taking the travail of raising children, you know, in the kingdom of God. They're all about themselves and what is advantageous to them instead of what is to the kingdom of God. And we're talking about spiritual investment here is what we're working around to. But sometimes to understand the unseen things of the spirit world, we need to understand the things that appear. And some of us, naturally speaking, aren't good investors. So how could we be a good investment in the spiritual realm? We're fooling ourselves. Amen? I'll tell you, the revelation of the Lord will make you benefit and prosper in all things, in all realms, in all dimensions. Amen? I mean that. By learning the biblical principles of investment. We could invest in our own life, our own time, our own business, and bust hell wide open. But be numbered with the entrepreneurs of this world. And be numbered with the great lights of the world that they know today. I've said the other day from the sacred desk that I had a fortunate upbringing, and naturally speaking, I had a very unfortunate upbringing, spiritually speaking. But naturally speaking, I lived on the right side of the tracks, for expression's sake. Some say you had a silver spoon in your mouth. Well, my dad made me work for it as a child. His dad told him when he was 10 years old, he said, "Dad, I need some money to get a haircut." And he told my dad, he said, "Go and get a job." So my dad said he went and mowed yards, and he paid for his own haircut. See, I like a dad like that. I think that's a good father, to make them know that things cost money and you need to work. I like it when children are given allowances. If it's a little guy and he's supposed to have the garbage out, when he don't put the garbage out, you got to go out and take care of it, then you dock his allowance. But he's learning that there's a reward for labor. It's called investment, brethren. You're investing in that boy's life and teaching him. When you discipline a child, you're investing in their life, teaching them there's consequences for failure. We've removed the consequences for disobedience and failure and things in our society and our world. Everybody's so sensitive, you can't say anything when there's no consequences for failure no more. They're even wanting to change the way they grade work because they don't want to offend the children. Oh, it's going to scar him if he gets an F. Well, it should. And he should gird up and start learning how to do something. Amen. Now, as we go on here and we're going to read here, I'm going to prove to you that God wasn't a Democrat and he's a Republican.
Amen.
That's a joke. I would never insult my Lord that way. Amen. But I can tell you this, he sure doesn't have the liberal ideology that America's pumping down everybody's throat through their wretched, perverted, filthy training and teaching and news medias and government. Amen. I feel my heart goes to children today because their parents have failed before they ever had a chance. And their parents are imparting the same ignorant entitlement ideology and mentality in their little hearts. And they're failed before they ever get started. And they're pampered and petted when they should be beat. You're just too strong, Brother Rob. You just don't know the half of it. For the kingdom of heaven, verse 14, Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. I bet the guy that got 1 was really cursing the guy that got 5. Why did he get 5? We'll hear the end of the matter in a moment. That's the way we think sometimes before I read any farther. We'll look over here at this brother. Well, how come, you know, he's blessed? How come, you know, why not me? Because you're a worthless individual. Brother Ed, I might have to apologize before I get done tonight too. The thing is, there's a man writing a secular book right now, or just wrote it. It's published, and I would never promote it because of the filthy title that he put on it. I'm going to use a title, a compromised title for his strong title. But you see, you're full of baloney, okay? And I'm not trying to sound ignorant here, but I mean, he's saying that this man's business is to go help people that are failing in their business. You know, when a man has a business, he made an investment. He invested into that business. He invested life. He invested time, usually money, usually gets help or different things. He's making an investment. Well, this man would be called in to go and bail these people out or help them fix what the problem is. And this is what he titled his book on dealing with this. It's basically, "You're full of baloney." That's not really the proper thing to say in correction for what he said. The end of the matter is this. This is what he said. He goes, every time I go to a business, here's what the management says and here's what the owners say. Well, it's bad economy. Well, it's not a good location. And he says, you're full of baloney. And I agree with him. I agree with him 100%. And he said, quit making excuses. I told you my father raised me up. And he said, son, I can't sell excuses. If they told me he had to have an airplane on the flight line, and he came to pick it up because it's got a flight scheduled to go on the flight line. I couldn't, you know, there was no excuse possible for me to give that would satisfy that man. He said, I want the airplane on the flight line. But he didn't want to hear that. Inexcusable. Get the airplane ready. But John didn't show up for work. I don't care about John. It's your responsibility. That's why I was trained. I like that. Well, you got to have a little element of grace. No, you take the element of grace, turn it to lasciviousness, and make excuses for your baloney. Amen? So let's snip it at the bud and let's be men and let's be real here. Amen? We're around people that are full of failure, brethren, because they haven't been taught and trained to be men and how to stand up with a backbone and press and push and they make excuses. Well, I failed because. No, it said, as this man said this, on an internet browser, I seen about a 3-minute interview of this man. And I loved everything he said, but I couldn't promote his book because of the title. Even though it worked well. Amen? We need to get him a phase 2 book that I could promote. It might be full of filth and trash, the whole book. I don't know. But I like what the man said. He goes, when I'd meet these people, this is what I would tell them. And he said, what you need to do is go look in the mirror. How many times have you heard that in this church? When things are taking place and things are happening, the best place to go is to the mirror and see what manner of man you are. Amen. God processes us. You see, the guy in the world might do different. God may never look his direction and he's prospering and being blessed on this side. Amen. He's prospering and this and that because he doesn't have the judgment counsel of God. And you say, well, why would God do that? Because he's more concerned about your eternity than he is about your substance and your finances. Amen. He would rather mold your spirit and make you strong through the fire and through the suffering that you could gird up your loins and be not a snowflake. Amen. Amen. Let me go on here for a moment. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. This is an allegory, brethren, and we need to look at this one coming here as our Lord blessing us and giving us an understanding if you want to get the revelation of what's being said here. To his several ability, and straightway took his journey. But if you're the one that got 1 and you're going to look over at the guy with 5 and you're going to think like a liberal, never mind. See, I'm using worldly terminologies here because we've got a trashed out world right now. And they're being pumped full of trash with a liberal mind and an ignorant mind. I am not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Christian, a son of God. And I'm trying to teach how to invest into God's kingdom, not in the natural worldly things. Amen. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Now you can see why I gave that man 5, huh? And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Come on, brethren, we're talking about your life and your soul, and you'll not even listen and give me the time. We're investing right now in your soul, into your life, to your heart, to your mind. Amen? You think of the one standing before the Lord and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent. Remember, that afraid that he was is the reversal of faith. And he was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, now listen to this. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him that giveth unto him which hath 10 talents. I told you it's Republican. Let me ask you something. This is a parable in the Bible, correct? Do you think they're there just by chance or just for whatever? This is the mind of God, brethren. Okay, it's the mind of the Lord. Do you see our nation following after this pattern that we're reading about here? With the welfare and all the things? I believe in benevolent programs, brother. We are a church and we're very benevolent. And we give. We give thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars in this little church. So I believe in benevolence. Don't misunderstand me. But I also believe in investing. An investment. An investment. Come on now. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Now listen to this. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not, listen to this. But him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. I told you he wasn't a Democrat. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Come on, saints. So if I use this as a biblical foundation, if I use this as a understanding of investment. Now, you know that this church here, that we preach, we teach, we differentiate continually dimensions. As I started out here tonight, I'm talking to people, you know, and it's difficult to speak in the realms of the marriage relationship with people to keep their thoughts correct and right in it. And I go over to a spiritual revelation that's taking place in a church service. A seed is going forth. The minister's going forth with a seed. And it's got to find a place in the womb of your heart for that seed to come into. And it's going to struggle just like the seed that goes into the woman. Got to struggle to find that egg that it could start dividing and it could start bringing forth a child. You see, the whole thing about the natural thing is there's a more beautiful revelation. You know, we talk about born again. You know, we talk about twice dead. So we see that there's a death in this world. There's a death in another world. There's a birthing in this world. There's a birthing in another world. And now we're speaking of an investment. Wake up! An investment! An investment! And we fail. We fail God. I say, I hear my father over there crying out in his older age. This is years ago. He's 91 now, but I hear him crying. Look, I didn't invest my life properly. I did what I wanted to do. I built me a business. You know, and I loved what I was doing. I was popular. fame, popularity. But he said, I failed. I didn't raise my children. I didn't do what's right. See, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. So some of you young people in here, just go off your back like water on a duck's back. Some of you older ones probably should be paying attention and take your last moments of your opportunity of investment. You say, well, Brother Rob, how do I invest? How do I invest? What are you speaking about? Let me tell you something. If you need natural prosperity, the only way a child of God will understand it or get it is by sowing spiritually. And then it stores things up in heaven and it overflows on this side into this vanity world here, and it'll be a prosperity on this side. But we got some poor investors in America. Think about what God gave these people called Christians and this land over here called America, and look what they've done with the investment. Look what Brother Pike's people done with the investment of many years of building a place. Some of you had family and things there that invested their life, and it's squandered away. And we sit back lighthearted. Oh, it's somebody else. We never look in the mirror and say, oh, it's me. We never do it. It's somebody else's fault. Always. We never man up. And we never say, I failed you, Lord God. I'm sorry, Lord God. You gave me a talent and I didn't sow it. I buried it and hid it away because I was afraid. Brethren, we got to invest. We have to invest. We got to get more wise in our investment that God's given us. So what has God given you? Number one, he's given you a life. And it's got a certain number of days here. And you've got to take this life and you've got to sow it. And where we fail, brethren, is we miss the opportunities, the spiritual opportunities of sowing, because we've got too many things clouding our vision and our judgment and our eyesight, and it's all the natural beggarly elements of this world are dangled before us, and we miss the opportunities to sow, spiritually speaking. And we have all these things of the master deceiver, the master at seducing. And he comes and seduces you and shows you there's a much easier and a better way. Okay, so let's talk about that for a moment. So here's a guy working hard, going through the motions, and he had one talent. Now, if he would have invested that wisely and he would have turned it into two, maybe then as the master there could have said, well, let's do another investment. Pretty soon he would have had 5 and 10 or whatever. Now the one that has 10, I wonder what kind of investment he's going to do now. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Amen? So now we're looking at investment. Investment goes so far beyond finances. Most of us think always investment in money and finances. But I can invest my time into the Lord, and then he's going to invest his time into me. Do you realize that? Brother Emmanuel talked to me briefly just for a moment today, and he said, Brother Rob, I've been listening to some messages, I'm hearing some things and seeing some things differently. Well, praise God. Amen. We're all hoping to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and start seeing. You know, sometimes people could be under this message for 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, whatever. And all of a sudden, no new thing being preached, but there's a new revelation going forth of seeing or understanding or comprehending something. Praise God for those moments in life. Amen. That we heard it and we've heard it and we've heard it, but have we really heard it? We sometimes are listening to it in our own dimension, in our own realm, and we think we got a handle on it, but we've missed it completely in the spiritual revelation of the kingdom of our Lord. The things in prosperity, let's talk about them for a moment. I've said these things from the sacred desk on more than one occasion. Two men could have two houses. Two families have two homes. Built by the same builder. I've said this, I'm going to say it again to make a point here. Built by the same builder. The same size, the same square footage, the same floor plan. And they both have them. They're both living in them. They're both enjoying them. One of those homes is going to testify against that man on the day of judgment. It's going to testify against him. As the Lord says to him, I never knew thee, or ye that work iniquity, or even as he said to this man right here with the one talent that buried it. And then the other man will stand before the Lord with the identical home built by the same identical builder. And he said, thou good and faithful servant. This home was a blessing of God because you sowed into the kingdom and it overflowed and God blessed you with a home. I know how to get things with my hands. When I met Brother Pike, I got stripped down. Stripped down financially, stripped down a lot of things. I showed up there, two brand new cars, cock-a-doodle-doo. Man, he put me to work in the spirit. Pressing me, pushing me. I didn't even go to work. There was times I worked at the church 3 months straight, cock-a-doodle-doo, you might say. But I was learning faith. But I started sowing things into the kingdom of God. Even though before I met him, I was preaching the gospel and traveling and doing a lot of things, but I would have been numbered with that man running and beating at the air because I was doing it the way I was trained by the ministry and by my fellow peers as ministers. I searched the United States over before I met Brother George, going to television evangelists and going state to state, traveling many miles. I said, I've got to find something that's satisfying this spirit, something satisfying. And what I couldn't find no satisfaction. I could not find it. I heard a lot of zip and a zill, heard a lot of answers to a lot of questions I had, but they didn't fit. When I met him, I started finding answers in here, but they weren't working up here because I was in another mind. And I had to get my mind transformed. I had to get brainwashed. That's what some accused me of happening. I said, praise God for washing that old filthy brain. It needed some washing. Amen? Yes. We're still talking about investment, brethren. Listen now. You just got one chance. One shot. These missed their shot. It said he went on a journey and left them there. And when he come back, he checked out their investment. Oh my. Wonder when he's going to get here. Check on our investment. What have I done for you, Lord? I hope we're not being weighed in the balances, as the Bible said, found wanting. Amen? Let's go on for a moment now. Let's think about this for a moment, what we're saying here. So I could be over here preaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and preaching and teaching. And man, I could walk away, boy, I'll tell you what, praise God, I'm a preacher, boy, doing what I'm supposed to do. And I got no investment into the kingdom of God because I'm sowing on deaf ears. Because I'm sowing on things that ain't been prepared by God. No man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws. Amen. So man, what am I doing there? I'm a bad investor. I'm a bad investor. If I've got to compromise what I believe and my convictions and things to minister, to go into some of these churches, then what am I doing? If I could sit down with that pastor and talk to him about the deep things of God and the revelational facts in my spirit, then I'm sowing and investing. And then it's up to him if he will impart it into his people. Amen? Brethren, I know how to make temporal gains. If I want numbers and not souls, I know exactly how to invest to get numbers in this church. But my investment has no strength to it. Amen. My investment will bring judgment to me. It'll bring death to me. So what am I speaking about? I'm speaking to every brother and every sister and every child in this work here and ones that are tuned in listening. The Bible talks about stewardship. If we would check ourselves in stewardship, I would say that this one that had the one talent wasn't a good steward with his talent. Would you agree with that? Sometimes we have this thing, well, if he would have gave me five, then I might have invested. But the reason he only gave the one, because he knew that it wasn't a good investment, and he's going to give him chance through grace and mercy. And the guy could have done something with it. You see, God knows how to invest, brethren. Now, how do I invest into God's kingdom where I'll receive the talents and an increase to be lucrative in so many more ways than finances? You know, the other night I came in and was preaching. Sometimes I have men in here that need God's attention in their matters more than anybody else. They need God to intervene in their life, in their marriage, in their substance, in their finances, and everything about them. And it's like, okay, we're sitting in an investment seminar of how to turn things around, how you could prosper, how you could be wealthy. He said he wants our soul to prosper and to be in health. Amen. And then yet, they may not hear or nor have ears to hear. The thing is that if Jesus was an investment counselor, and he surely was, and if he was one that was investing, so then could the one that failed with the investment, could he blame the counselor? When one would receive and go forth, and another one would fade away and die. Brother Pike would say there's twins born in every service. Amen. That's something to consider and something to think about. So naturally speaking, to understand the unseen things of the spirit world by the things which do appear according to the word of God, then we got to look at the natural world. We got some guys like Donald Trump. Many don't like him because he talks like this kind of investment sometimes. But we're in a liberal society that wants to take away from the one with 10 and share it with the one with 1. That's the society we live in. You got 10, you need to give me some of your 10, for I could squander it and bury it. But see, it's not God's way. And that's the failure of America, because they've departed the ways of God. But if you think that this message is stemming off the thoughts or just being around natural gains of countries and nations and lands and things, no. I'm talking about your life as an investment into God's kingdom. He said here as we read in the town, let me back up there and read this part right here. Verse 21, it says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So because of his faithfulness over the little things, God was going to make him a leader over many things. Let me tell you what happens to many people is they want to bypass the investment department. They want to bypass the sewing department. They want to bypass the proving. They go in on the ground floor of a corporation and they're looking at presidency. But if they'd show themselves faithful over the janitorial side, show themselves faithful over the order of the shop and keeping it clean, or show themselves faithful in being honest and doing things like that, then they'll progress. Now, it sounds like I'm speaking solely about investment into the natural world. But listen to me, saints. Let's talk about natural investment and spiritual investment. If I can't invest myself into my home and run my own house, he said, I cannot run the house of God. So you think you're spiritual, and you think that you're going to cruise into the kingdom of God, but you ain't got your natural things in order. It doesn't work like that, brethren. And you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Rob, let me make sure I understand what you're trying to say. The Bible said we have a good name within and without. Amen. The Bible teaches us in the scriptures that if we're a slave, how we're supposed to do to our masters, for we could sow properly. Amen. And if we are the master over slaves, it tells us even how to deal with them. The Bible's very clear. You see, because we're investors and we're investing with stewardship into God's kingdom, we have to sow into the kingdom of God. Amen? I'm going to try to go on a little bit farther here because I don't want to put an uncertain sound out. Here's the uncertain sound in the religious America today. The uncertain sound of our land today is you're wealthy, you're blessed of God. That's what goes forth in America today through the churches with the prosperity message. Oh man, you're blessed of God. Let me tell you something. The Bible I read says that the poor receive Jesus gladly. What are you going to do with that? Amen. So here we are. We're struggling to understand. We're struggling to, you know, where am I at? So you can have a man that's investing and sowing into the house of God here. And you say, well, there's the kind of investment you're talking about. It could be. But what if that man's out of order? Let's talk about one that was here not many years back with us. He was here continually. He was pretty faithful at being in church. We went out traveling with his girlfriends and whoremongering around. He sowed and sowed and sowed. But I told the man, he was sowing right here in this church. I was his pastor. And I said, you've got nothing sown in the kingdom. I said, you have nothing. I said, all of your sowing into this church right here, you're getting the rewards on this side. And God's blessing you because there's reward for all labor. And God was blessing him on this side, blessing him mightily. I said, you have nothing stored away in heaven, nothing. It upset him. He quit sowing, quit giving, and he left the church. Some of you don't understand those things, even tuned in. You might say, well, Brother Rob, you might have his blood on his hands. I had his blood on my hands if I didn't preach the gospel to him like I did. The Bible said when you see evil come into that city and don't cry out against it, then you have blood on your hands. See, they don't understand because they've got snowflake preachers and they've read too many snowflake books by these sissified preachers that are nothing but whores and whoremongers. So I know I speak bold and straight, but we're in a time and a day that they need some straight, old-fashioned direction and guidance that just snips everything at the bud and said, this is the way it is. Amen? Because everything's tickled, you know, tickling the little ears. Don't want to hurt nobody or offend nobody. You know, I'm tired of that way. It ain't working. We got a generation of a bunch of worthless men. Worthless men. Come on now. Worthless men and worthless women. No virtue, no godliness, no ladylike. Women don't even know how to present themselves as a lady anymore. They don't talk like ladies. They don't walk like ladies should walk, sit like ladies should sit. There should be a lady. I'm not talking about a promiscuous woman. I'm not talking about a forward woman or somebody out there. You know, the ladies of this world are painted up and glamored up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a virtuous woman, amen, shamefaced woman, walking in the glory of the Lord with the love and the illumination of the glory of God on their countenance, not paint and makeup. The glory of the Lord shining out from them, that you could see the joy and the love of the Lord coming forth from them. We need more women like that, more saints of God, amen. We're losing the people of this world and things. We've got time. We're going to have to sow. Now, so we're talking about natural investments and spiritual investments, and we find that sometimes failing in natural investments would just be some sort of a type or an allegory or a shadow of the failures of the spiritual investments. Amen? Bear with me now. If the unseen things of the spirit world are revealing or showing, this message ain't to beat you up or to make you feel terrible or worthless. It's to make us examine that we can invest properly. A few weeks ago, I ministered a message in here, And it seems like the ones that I'm speaking to are the hardest ones to get to penetrate the message. I remember making this statement. I said, do you want God's attention in your life, in your home, in your business, in your health? I would hope that everybody would give me the answer is yes. But see, there's a proper way for me to get his attention, right? Now here I see this one that doesn't invest the talent. I don't think he got God's attention. He approached him humbly. Oh, I know that you're one that, you know, that reaps from places that you never sowed or strawed. You know, approached him real humbly. Well, how did God receive him? It's okay, little buddy. It's all right. You know, I'm going to go ahead and give you some more. You know, we use a terminology here at Christian Temple. We don't pet devils. You know? I tell you what, come on, brethren. We think that we're soul winners. We want to pet these spirits. It's okay, little buddy. It's all right. And we're forming terrible, bad habits, bad investments. I've made some bad investments, spiritually speaking, as a pastor here. Some of them I knew before I'd done it, but the Lord did just like with the one talent. He said, I want you to give this, and when they squander it, then we'll do something. But we've got to give them a chance first. Amen. And you look at it as a bad investment. But it's following the will of the Lord. But when they do that, and then I go back and invest more, then that's the really bad investment. Come on now. That's the real bad investment. So we'd put it on the waters, the bread, and we'd look for it to come back. Now let's try to make sure we got our mind out of monetary finances and monies. Monies is an important role because it costs money for you to live. Amen. Again, the Bible said if you can't support your own household, you're worse than an unbeliever, an infidel. That's pretty bad. That means you're going to hell, my friend. Yeah, that's, you know, I you know, in the book of you know, we got the King James Version, but if we're going to have the Brother Rob Version, I just unveil a little bit more. You know, if you're worse than an infidel, I'd say you're serpent seed, man. You're twice dead. You're plucked up by the roots. You're gone. Huh? You say, well, the Bible doesn't quite say it that way. Well, where are infidels going? Somebody tell me. Huh? Going to Walmart for coffee or hell? Come on, which one is it? We know what it is. Let's get real about things. We water everything down. You know, we just, you know, praise God, you know. You see, the benevolence of our nation, called the welfare program, or the benevolence of the church, is a good, positive thing. But when it becomes where it's a bad investment, then it becomes errand God. Are you hearing me? Okay, so let's fine-tune some investment for a while. So you've got a life to invest. You've got a life, which means time, a number of days. So we could call those numbers of days so much in the talents or however you want to figure it, but you've got so much time to invest. How much of that time are you investing into this world? I think of so many people that are putting away and 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 saving for their retirement, and they're going to die. Their kids are going to blow it. Squander it. Ain't going to come out to no account. Sometimes your kids can take your investment or your finances. It'll ruin them. It'll ruin them. Quick story. My mother's family in the Depression years got all busted up. Her brothers and sisters. A German family adopted my uncle, my mom's brother, named Bob. They worked him on a farm, taught him how to work, and he worked hard. They had to work for everything they got, worked hard. After he raised up, he went out to the West Coast. He was raised up back in Missouri and went out to the West Coast. Started a little plumbing company. He's working. Had a good business. I worked for him one summer. As a kid, working in a very lucrative area, perhaps some of the most high-dollar real estate in the United States, little island called Balboa Island. Did well. Well for himself. Well, when his adopted parents died, they left him about $4 million. This was in about 1982 or 3 when he got it. A lot of money. $4 million. That was after the government got their part and he had $4 million. He went and gave some of his children, each one of them, he gave them a pretty large sum of money. I can't remember exactly what it was. He gave them a talent. Man, he didn't need his old plumbing truck no more. Went and bought him a brand new Lincoln Continental, man. Pretty sharp. Man, he bought him a real nice high dollar Stinson hat to wear. Got him some really fine boots. I don't know what kind of skin they was. But this man transformated in a moment. Went out and bought him a Cadillac pickup truck, a crew cab dually. Big old chrome, nice looking wheels and running boards on it with a 36-foot horse trailer to color several horses. And went and bought him a bunch of race horses and started racing horses. Woohoo! Son, he was doing it, man. Son, he was swagging even, brother. Then he bought him a tackle shop and started selling saddles and stuff. And he went and built him a big old house right next to Will Rogers in Apple Valley, California. Built him a big old beautiful mansion out there. I went over and seen him. Hey, man, this is my uncle. Oh, it wasn't too many years. Very short few years. To keep his tackle shop and his horse racing and all this stuff going, had to get a loan on his house. All of his money gone. Now he's getting a loan, trying to make it all going, keep it going. He lost that big house. I went and seen him over on a road called Hell. He moved back to Missouri, where he came from. Lived in a little white, old farmhouse. Pretty decrepit, pretty busted down. Just an old, it was probably an 80-year-old home. I remember walking out the door of his house that day, and I knew that I'd never see him again. See, I'm talking about investment still, brethren. Here's a man that all of a sudden he thought, like you think, man, if I just had $4 million, man, it would change things. I remember a lady here in this church got hurt real bad and was in a lawsuit and thus. And she's getting $120,000. I listened to this woman talk. And I mean, this to her was going to change the entire course of the universe. And she was going to do this and do that and all these wonderful things and this and that. It wasn't long because they didn't invest godly the way God says. They bought him a piece of land out here and bought him a little mobile home, and they were going to set it up out there. It took them 3 months to set up a mobile home on a piece of land. That tells you something. What it tells you is God was blowing on the substance because they sat in a house of God and did not know how to invest. Now listen to me, the uncertain sound of what I'm saying. I just shared a story with you about another one sharing thousands in this church and thousands. And I said, he's got nothing in the kingdom. And then I'm sharing about another one that gets this and is squandered away in a short order of time. Because both of them on both sides were bad investments. Now, when you think of spiritual investment and a natural investment, think of the things that take place in natural investments and people lose thinking they're going to make gains. Has anybody ever heard of that? Some people play the stock market and they invest into the stock market and they're investing and the pork bellies are going up. And the pork belly's going out instead of up. Amen. Yeah, there's a real inflation to the pork bellies tonight. oh boy, help me Jesus, huh? And they lose. People that really are sincere and even try sometimes make bad investments. So we watch, try to find the mind of the Lord, try to listen. We think of the seducing spirits. I think of one that called me here. We're young and new work here, building a church. There's a man that sat under Brother George Pike for 30 years. Calls me up and he said, hey, Brother Rob, you got $10,000 to invest? If he would ask me $10, I might have to probably go over to Brother Rascal's house and borrow it. Amen. And I said, no. And he goes, well, you think you can come up with it? He said, if you could invest $10,000, now listen to me, I'm going to help you on investment here. He said, if you could invest $10,000, Brother Rom, I promise you, brother, it'll turn into $100,000 within 60 days. And he told me how many thousands that he invested. And he was going to be a millionaire in this 60 days. So I'm listening to him. And I'm listening to him. And I'm listening to him. And this is what he said to me. He said, Brother Rob, as soon as I make my million, I'm going to go start evangelizing and I'm going to start visiting churches. And right then, if it was a good investment and it was a real diamond company that he was investing into out of Africa, and if this was real, he cursed it right there. He put a curse on it. I watch people curse their investment by speaking outside the realms of faith. If God told that man he was supposed to be visiting churches and evangelizing, and when he made the statement, I will do that as soon as my wife has this baby, as soon as my this, or as soon as my education, that man has just put a curse on his life, on his ministry, on everything around him. He cursed it, and it'll never work. Because when you do something for God, His glory is always going to go to Him. Go look at the book of faith in Hebrews and read about faith. They took away the sword. They took away the shield and gave Him a clay pitcher and a candle. Amen. Saying, it ain't your way, my friend. It ain't man's way. We're talking about investment into the kingdom of God. And what we do is we get in the way with our own intellect, our own self, of being entrepreneurs and investors, and we're out there seeking something that we think is going to benefit God, and God's not going to bless it because it's going to be glorifying you instead of Him. Somebody give Jesus a hand, amen. Amen. Now, let me go on here for a moment. I got many things in my spirit. I can't get them all out here tonight. I know that. There's people that go and they do Bible studies. We got men in prison doing Bible studies. And they're getting men together and they're doing Bible studies. And you say they're investing into their life. They need to look for a return. But sometimes that's what it appears to be. It would appear that they're investing, but they're really not. Sometimes the motivating fact, now listen to me, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the service, and I was speaking about ministry, wasn't I? Come on now, listen to me. I've compared the ministry to a marriage relationship, and it has to do with ministry to bring the seed forth. We're the ministers of God, and there's a seed going forth, and it's looking to find the woman that's been washed and purged by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that seed has got to enter into her to bring forth the heir to the throne of God. Amen? Now listen. So I speak about this, but then yet I say these got these other ministers that are doing the same thing as the whoremongers are doing. Listen close. There's an exuberance, an enthusiasm in preaching the gospel. And there's no real concern for the souls. Come on, saints. But they get turned on preaching, just as the whoremonger gets turned on in the bed of adultery. The same thrill, the same exuberance, with no travail, no suffering, no tutoring, no teaching, no doctrine, no helping, no raising. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in them. So now, here we are. We're talking about the seriousness of investment. We could think that, you know, you've heard me say things from this sacred desk. I said I could go home, I could stay in my room on my knees, I could be leaned over a chair praying all day long and fasting 2 days. Thinking, oh man, I'm sowing into the kingdom, I'm investing, and God's upset with me. It's just a religious action if he didn't call me to do that. When he wanted me to do something else, he had something else in mind for me to do that day. Let me tell you, even naturally speaking, some of the investment natural men make hurt them. And they put themselves in harm's way to make the investment. And also, those are the ones that will usually come back very lucrative and very rewarding to them. The ones that hurt. The ones that look like it was a... I don't like to use the word a big gamble. Because there's no gambling in the kingdom. You do it God's way, there's no gambling. The gambling's not in it. God's way is yea and amen. It's real. It's right. When you're gambling, then there's something wrong. You know, it's not by chance. It's not maybe. It's thus saith the Lord, yea and amen. Let the word of God be true and every man be a liar. So the word of God is right and accurate. But there's a way to invest in the kingdom and a way to invest in God. And the only way that you're going to get rewarded on the eternal blessings is by sowing it into the kingdom first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, the Bible. But we don't do that, saints of God. We seek after ourselves, our own self and our own business, our own time, our own wives, our own lives, our own children first. And we run from God because we got it all worked out in our mind. And we're failing the Lord most miserably. I'm talking to some wonderful people tonight. But I'm trying to perfect our investments. I got to make money. I got time to labor in the Lord. First mistake in your investment. You'll be the one to bury the talent. I'm going to tell you something. When you make it hurt. We got many missing tonight in this church. Many. Aren't here tonight. Some of them are some of the most faithful people we got. Good people. Sounds like I'm beating them up. But we have got to perfect our investments. We have to perfect our investments if we want to get God's attention. I think of Brother Billy being a locksmith. He could take a key and set it up in the thing and start shaping it. One little pin or one little bump on that thing might have took off too much with that file or cutter. It won't open that door. One little thing. Oh, but the key looks good. Look at this key. It's shiny. Man, it's all polished out. Can't see the cut marks. Not looking good. But it don't matter. Don't open the door. That's why sometimes we present ourselves to God. We look and we got this looking good and this looking good and this looking good. But one little thing out of order in the things of God. One little thing. The thing is to say, well, brother, I got a calling in my life and I believe the Lord wants me to do this and that. Well, if you can't get these foundational things accurate, then everything is just going to be like the rest of the ministry. Going to be built on something that won't stand and won't work. Bad investment. I was going to a church. My wife and I ran 1,500 people. The pastor loved me, liked me. He comes to me, puts his arm around me. Boy, he's probably got him a $1,200 suit on. Tell me how much he has to offer me as a young minister. This is where God wants you. This is where God has you. We're going to do this for you. We're going to do this for you. had another minister, I met him. He told me, he said, look, he said, I'll even give you the money to get back to Delaware if you need it. I was in California on the West Coast. He was down here preaching in a meeting. I think we was in Oklahoma. There was probably 4,000 or 5,000 people there. This man preaching, he said, brother, he said, you come back to my college. He said, I'll pay for everything. Won't cost you a thing. Come back to my college and I'll put you in college. Man was in an insane asylum. They were getting ready to do a, what they call when they cut this lobe and the brain out up here in the front. Make it almost like, is it a lobotomy? Where they cut out part of the brain when you're dangerous. They're fixing to do that. Lord opened up the prison and he left. He prayed through and he went to the ward. He said, I got a sound mind now. He goes, there's nothing wrong with me. I got born again. I gave my life to Jesus. He healed my mind. And the warden said, this proves you're crazy. And they put him in a straitjacket and were taking him in to do this surgery on him in Delaware. I believe is where, was that right? Delaware. You can read about it. There's articles about it. The man left. Guard standing by the door. He said he went up to the guard and he done like this. And the door was open. He went outside. Foot of snow on the ground. Barefooted. And he went out there and said, oh, I got to get my shoes. He went back in to the prison, went into his room, got his shoes and walked back out the door. And he waved his hand in front of the guard and he didn't even see him. Walked out of this prison. He went to a psychiatrist and to him, they proved him to be a sound mind. They took him back to ward and he was released. And they had an order on him when they were looking for him to shoot to kill. It's all documented facts. But the man came into a sound mind in Jesus Christ. You say, I thought we're talking about investing. Well, I'm talking about investing. Here we see a miracle take place in a man's life like that. And then I find what he done with his life and what the talents that God gave him. Women come into his church, weren't dressed right. He'd have the ushers drop cloths over the front. That's the way he started out. Karen Wheaton, one some of you know, a singing that was a really nice, virtuous girl when she started. Now she ain't nothing but a tramp. Sold, hoard herself to the world in TBN broadcasting. When Irene and I met her, she told us, she said, it don't matter where you're at and what state you're in when you're preaching and you want me to come sing in any meetings that you're in, I'll come sing for you. Isn't that right, Irene? So I go to a place called Bethlehem. But see, this was before TBN days. She was on television and she was very well known. What does that mean, Brother Lambert? You got these influential people. I was going to Romania with some people. Looked like good investment, my friend. It looked like a good investment. Preaching to 4 million people or taking 4 million Bibles. They said they would have 80,000 people in these meetings. And I didn't go. I went to a little church over here in Monroe, Georgia with a handful of people and getting rebuked and losing everything I got because I was investing my soul and my heart and my life into God's kingdom. It has to go into the ground and die first. Amen. Had all these opportunities and offers. But somewhere I had to find out what was the investment of God. What did God have for me? What did he desire? Brother Pike got into my whole van. And he said, Brother Rob, I like this. We bought an old wore out van. Irene upholstered it. We worked on it. He got in and he said, man, I like this, man. It's the blessing of the Lord. He said, God's restoring you. He said he'll restore every bit back and even more so. But he said he's doing it his way. I knew how to invest naturally and how to get gains. It would have been leaving the house of the Lord, lay waste. I had an airport offered to me while I sat under Brother Pike and I said no. I had another lucrative business offered to me in Nevada over the operations of a very multi-million dollar airport, an aircraft business offered to me. I said no because I had an investment. Those were lucrative investments that looked good and they pulled on my spirit and they pulled on me, but it would have put me in hell is what it would have done. You see, what are we investing into? What is God looking for in our lives? You come down to the end of the trail and you got real estate and you got fame and you got all this, but you have no soul. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad? Brethren, we find ourselves like the old Indian death march, running in circles. The Bible said a man running, beating at the air, and accomplishing nothing. That's what our ministries are when we haven't really considered and put God where we need to put Him at and where we need to put the ministry at. We have too much control. So here I'm going down here. Pastor asked me or told me, hey man, you know, if you come over and minister. And then I say, no, I'm going to pass up that opportunity. I'm going to go sow over here in a brother and a sister. Amen. I'm going to go sow over there. Amen. Does that mean the other thing wasn't right? Not at all. That's not what I said. But where we go to where the heart has been prepared. We go to where God sends us. But we make a decision to go over here because this one looks more advantageous to me. And you miss the opportunity to sow a seed where there's been a prepared heart. That's just one small example. Amen? So then you drive off over another few hundred miles and go sit down with one man and spend 6 hours with him sowing and sowing and sowing. What could that do? That one man could win thousands of souls if he gets his bearings and his direction right. I heard something there that he had already learned to decipher through all the uncertain sounds and all of the noises, through all the flattery and through all the fame and all the popularity. Brother Melvin comes to me and he says, you know, Brother Rob, he said, in prison, man, they're indoctrinating me and teaching me and teaching me and preaching to me and teaching me. And he said, when it come time for me to put money and finances and I'm going to give the titles to these diesel truck stuff, man, now all of a sudden, man, you're the brother now. Ooh, man, you much better than everybody else in here. Man, you got eyes to see them other brethren are blind. This and that. Flattery. See, there was another sowing going on there, a sowing to human emotion, a sowing to the man, that flattery that diggeth the pit. Oh, man likes that. Oh, give him a title. Oh, yes, you're the great ambassador, and you're the great this, and you're the evangelist, and you're this, and you're that. Titles! We want a title! We want to be something, and you're going to hell! You better just become a servant of God and start willing to wash the feet of the saints of God. Amen. And get out of your haughtiness and your high-mindedness and thinking too highly of yourself and thinking you know something when you don't know what you ought to know. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. I come up early, thought maybe I'd finish this message, but I even got started. Brethren, it's in my spirit. I love you. Great people here. I've got men here that know how to sow. I understand that. But brethren, we want to perfect. You know, maybe you was that one with two. And you're rejoicing in your heart because you took two and made four. But now you got the same opportunity to take the four and to make eight. And when you got the eight, then you got the opportunity to take the eight and make 16. Investing in the kingdom. What has God given you? How much are you leaned on? You know, the priest in the Old Testament, when the people would bring the offering, they'd take the hook and they'd have three prongs on, they'd stick it down into the fat and they would pull this out and they was able to take that for themselves. How many hooks are you digging in? I think of some of them high priests and some of the things that came upon them as they got raised up. One made allowances with his boys. And he gets the report of his two boys killed in battle. Can you think of the heartbreak of a father? Because he missed the Lord. and he wasn't investing wisely in God's kingdom and started getting raised up in power. I don't remember the king's name that got raised up in power, numbered his chariots. David all got in trouble for trying to number things. Started numbering his chariots and horsemen and all these kind of things. God got grieved with him and brought him down overnight. Amen. Brethren, we keep humble before the Lord and we say, all I have, Lord, is one investment to make, and it's my life. And if I give that, that's just my reasonable investment. It's just reasonable, brethren. Don't think you've done something great when you gave him your life, because your life ain't worth the amount of minerals in it and the iron and stuff. I don't think it's enough to swing a magnet. Amen. I love you, don't I? One thing about metal, it does burn. Some of them, when you get it on fire, it starts feeding gases out of it and you can't put it out. I found that out. Amen. You love the Lord tonight, brethren. I appreciate you allowing me to come in here and preach to you. I love you. I think you're greatest people. I'm talking to you as an investment counselor tonight. You got a nice home, praise God, nice car, nice business, nice wife, praise the Lord. Well, why don't you back off then, Brother Rob? So I'm looking for something greater than that, something better. Hey, man, I'm looking for something much better than that. I know, brethren, is my calling as a minister and a preacher. I got to teach how to work. Because you can't do nothing for God if you don't know how to work. If you can't hold a job, well, you can't even talk to me about being a servant of God or being even a Christian. If you can't even support yourself. So work is a very elementary first step in Christianity. We got to learn to be able to do that, brother. So I got to look and see if you're bringing forth talents of even good work ethics. Are you cheating on your bosses? Are you lying on your time? You know, you're doing these things. So I'm saying, hey, this is a bad investment. You know, when I was in the world, brethren, and teaching and training aircraft mechanics and hiring them, brethren, I'd make some valuations pretty fast. Real quick. I fired men, brethren, before they ever got started. And I mean that. They never even got started. And I fired them simply because they was late. When you're late the first day, what do you think the second day is going to be like? And the third day. Sometimes I'd give them a chance. I had one guy walk in the door on a job I was running. And he come in, has air compressor, man, all these hoses on, his equipment, his helpers coming in, carry all that stuff. And they come in, they set it down, set the compressor down, start setting this. I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm going to work. I said, not here. You ain't got no job here. And he goes, what do you mean I got no job here? I told you we were starting at 7 o'clock this morning. This was about 10:30. He wasn't just a little bit late. I've done that when they showed up at 7:45 or 7:32. But I said, you ain't got no job here. That guy wanted to fight. Boy, he come charging up at me and this and that. And I said, hey, man, if you want to fight, we can get with it. But you might whoop my hind end, I might whoop yours. But it don't matter. You still ain't got a job when we get done. Yeah. That's the truth. That's why I dealt things. I mean, if we're going to make you feel better, let's go for it. If you still ain't got a job, make you feel better, get with it. Amen. You say, you were a jerk even in the natural realms, not just in the spiritual realms, weren't you, Brother Rob? Yep. The problem is, like I tell y'all, I like it sometimes. Amen. I like what Brother Arthur said. Guy comes up and he says, I don't like the way you do it. And I said, how are you doing it? The guy said, I ain't. And I said, well, I like my way better. Most of my critics ain't doing nothing, brethren. Most of the ones that find the most fault with me ain't made no success in nothing. And you say, are you successful, Brother Rob? I am successful in the kingdom of God because I followed the plan of God. And I'm doing the best I can. And thank God for his grace for helping me in my slack. Amen. But he's perfected me, chastens me, brethren. I go by the way of the whipping post also. I find myself heavy at times thinking, God, please. Amen. He's got me here as an investment into you. Amen. And that's what I'm trying. I'm trying to invest my heart, brethren, You know, I think of some of the things that took place, terrible things that took place at Little Bethlehem after Brother Pike's departure. I think of how strong and how great that brotherhood was and how strong and hard he preached to them. And look what took place and look what happened. And I look for this remnant. I look for this small flock. I look for this men. Amen. And I'm thinking, you know, I got to look at this as I look at my father's life. One that I've respected and loved so much. Oh, I've shared with you some of his failures and some of the things, but I still saw a real man there that taught us children the value to work and how to work. When he was wealthy enough, he could have gave us anything we wanted, Brother John. But he made us work and earn it. He expected us to work as children, and we worked as children. We had responsibilities. He had expectations. Fathers, do you have expectations of your children? Do you have expectations of your children? I had a man tell me just a day or two ago, he said, I was talking to him about his son. And he goes, well, that's just the way he is. No, things don't just the way they are. My wife corrected me the other day and said, we do not raise children. We train them. We raise pigs, chickens, and dogs. But we train children. You don't ever think for a moment that your child has just got this pre-recorded little thing inside and they're just going to be what they are. You know, I hope you're not that. I'm looking for something nice to say because ignorance fits real well. And the Bible said to, you know, train up the child in the way that it should go. And when your child's a failure, it just shows that you're a failure. That you failed. Now I know that you could do things right and keep everything in order home. They could grow up and go off and make a real mess of things. And you could trust and believe they'll come back around to what you really trained them up to go with. I know those things happen. But some people, I've shared this with a lady come to me and said, Brother Ron, you know, we raised them up like the Bible said, you know, in the way that they should go, and I just don't understand it. I said, no, they sit in front of the TV too much. TV will pervert their minds. It's going to put a mind in them. Brethren, it's going to put a mind in them. And they're going to start thinking like Hollywood and thinking like the world. And thinking like the glamour sluts in this world. They look at too many magazines with all the little women and the way they got themselves fixed up and put up. There ain't no Proverbs woman in no magazine. Amen? It ain't going to be there. Don't look for the standards out there and try to look like them. Set the standards yourself. Be godly and holy, virtuous and righteous. Walk in the Spirit, you'll lead somebody in the kingdom. Amen? I got the reports of some of you here and your families where people come up to you when you're out there because they see the way your children and your wives are dressed. I've had them come to me. I could see the way your wife is dressed that y'all Christians, aren't you? Before we came to holiness, I never had that happen. Never been at the beach with your girlfriend in a bikini and somebody come, oh, I perceive you're a Christian. Never had that happen, huh? You see, brethren, it's going to project what you are, what's in your spirit. Modify, change, press, grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen? This is your short opportunity. Some of us are getting up in age. We don't have much time left for investment. If we're looking at our years, if man's promised 70, well, I'm getting a lot closer to 70 was than when I was 15, huh? So how much time do I have left to invest? So maybe I'll start getting more wisdom with my investments. Start thinking about them a little bit better. This is so far beyond money and finance, brother. And this is talking about sowing into the kingdom of God. You could sow into a man's life and take time and sow into his life and sow into his life, sow into his life until you see a return. That's the only way you know your investment has come back. That's the only way that you'll know. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. So we sow with works and faith. And we look for faith to manifest back in works. Amen. How else are you going to see an investment? You see a life change. You see a molding to transforming. They're transforming. You'll see a transformation of their thinking. You'll see them thinking different, talking different, walking different, looking different. Now you're investing into the kingdom. And you see them come forth. They come forth in virtue and righteousness and holiness. We're talking about spiritual investment. If we cannot see the virtue, the righteousness, and the holiness, and the godliness, and the separation from the world, and coming out of the mind of the beast, and start coming into the mind of Christ, the mind of God, with a true love, then it's a bad investment, and it'll never work. It'll never work. Amen. I see men fall in love. Women fall in love. Sometimes the pizza boy comes over, Brother John. He's wanting an investment. He smiles and winks. He's looking for a return of his investment. He's going to invest kindness and expect kindness. But we got to look for some uncertain sounds in there. I asked Brother John if he was easy on him. He said, oh, sure. And I said, yes, because you ain't lost girls yet. Man, I might have missed the Lord. I might have should have been here Sunday. I've had my babies taken away, man. I'm not too easy on them rascals coming around. Get a big sword out. You say, you might have killed him, Brother Rob. Good, praise the Lord. Amen. When they're dead, they ain't no problem no more. Amen. I'm being a little lighthearted. I'm sorry to keep you all so late. Let's stand together. Pray for me and I'll pray for you. I'm glad to be home. I'm thankful for a brotherhood here. You have truly made some good investments, brother, and I see some of your investments into the kingdom. Amen. And I thank you. Amen. But you got your chest out because you got 10 talents, and I'm saying, man, you got to sow them 10 and bring back 20. You say, you're a greedy dog, preacher. No, you see, you just missed out on God's investment principle. You think I'm talking for my gain? I said the kingdom, amen. The kingdom, amen, the kingdom. Right. We're sowing into the kingdom, Brother Ed. Amen. Christian Temple, go to not. Brother Rob, if he falls away, doesn't mean you had a bad investment. You sowed into the kingdom of God. We're trying to do something for the kingdom of the Lord. Your blessings ain't dependent on my success. You go godly principles and you sow godly, you will reap spiritually. You understand that? You follow the leading and the voice of God. Amen. That's what you have to do. Amen. I think of little Bethlehem being robbed away. You say, man, that was a bad investment, man. You sold it as a bad. Absolutely not, brethren. Let me tell you, while I was investing into his kitchen, he was investing into my soul.
Amen.
Man, I reaped to the fullness of the benefits of little Bethlehem. When I was working on his jet airplane, he'd come out to the airport, had a little RV out there, parked in the trailer, and he would come out there and talk to me, man, I'd be working. He goes, come on back over here. And he'd have somebody drop him off sometimes. He'd go sit and he goes, you think you got me to come over there? And all of a sudden that old jet airplane didn't mean nothing. He got me over there by myself in that thing. And he was investing into my Amen. Life. Because I was over there investing into the kingdom of God. Had an opportunity. You know, we sit over here and this guy said, well, I'm investing. I'm out here helping him clean up some brush and cut some trees. But we found time to make some investments. And then because you committed works unto the Lord, then your thoughts could be established. And established thoughts get you out of double-mindedness. Right. And get you out of the problems and complications. When your business says that you cannot afford to invest into the kingdom, then you've failed most miserably. When your business doesn't allow you to sow into the kingdom, you have done the most terrible investment. That's like going into the banker and spitting in his face and asking him for a loan. And tell him his wife's fat and ugly. You know, could you loan me some money? It ain't going to happen, dude. You tell the banker that? Well, that's what happened when you don't seek the kingdom first. Right. And you seek your business first, and your business is more important than God's business. Then he says, so be it. You're the God of your business. You're the one that's in control of it. Hope it works out for you. And it can. It could bless you mightily and make you big and fat and famous. Amen. But you're still going to hell. Amen. Right. Come on, saints. It's pretty simple. Amen. I love you and appreciate it. Let's sing a song. Amen. I got this preaching thing all over me, man. That's what happens when you miss a day or two, ain't it? Thank God I wasn't gone 10 days, huh?
Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face.
We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.
His unveiled face.
Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face.
The glory that is changed.
We also, on Sunday, got to go over to another prison called Dodge Prison. And spent a day with Brother Jeff Brumman. Had a wonderful day. And he's being trained in the fire department now, working outside the prison gates. And looks like a good opportunity for him. He's doing well. Got a good fellowship and good visitation with him. Remember these men in prayer, brothers and sisters. Let's sing a song or two, and I know it's late. We're going to immediately close. Amen.
Unveiled face, his unveiled face, the light of the glory of his unveiled face,
it's the glory that is changed.
Hold Brother Durrell up and be praying for him. There's
his chain
fighting him a bit down there. Amen. It's part of faith, part of growth, part of learning to exercise, being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Amen. What's all these pretty girls doing up here? Yep, four of them. We need to get some men around your house, don't we? Mama said no. I think four is a good uniform, even number. Yeah. What do you think? You need a little brother yet? Yeah. What do you think, Natalie? You need a little brother around here? Well, that's not very nice. Well, hello, sweetie pie. What would you be doing now? What's up, sis? Yeah. We're going to pray. Morphine works real well. No. We're talking about sleeping, little girl. You're not sleeping good at night? Huh? She's not sleeping too good? You got that same look as your dad. We're gonna pray over that right now. We're going to get this one while it's young. Amen. Let's anoint these children with oil, brothers and sisters. Amen. Dealing with some allergies and things. So you're dealing with a cough, sweetheart? We anoint you. You dealing with some allergies and a cough, sweetie pie? And not sleeping good? Father, I pray for these children in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you give mothers a strength, Lord God. Father, I thank you for real moms who tarry and toil with children, Lord, in raising. Fathers, I know the nights sometimes seem so sleepless, Lord. trying to raise up little children, Lord God. But Father, I thank you for mothers that travail to rear up these little children, Lord God. Just as you're looking, Almighty God, for us to do the same, Lord, with little children to travail through the night, crying out between the porch and the altars, Lord God. Father, I ask you to touch these children, and we rebuke any allergies or anything that would come against these babies. Bless them, Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name. Father, let this little one rest and learn to sleep through the night, Lord God. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The glory that is changing me.
Amen. I appreciate y'all. I know it's late. Amen.
His change.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother John, going to stand in for his wife. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe in the word of God. You know, they brought handkerchiefs, and Paul took handkerchiefs off of his body. And there were people that were touched and healed. You know, it's nice when you have people come into the altars and lay hands on them. Some of you can remember when I was in Mexico, and I prophesied over that baby that wasn't going to live through the night. And I said, thus saith the Lord, that baby shall live. Yes. Amen. And I mean, anointing and the power of God moved. Amen. And that little baby come out of ICU. They couldn't even airlift it to another hospital. It was so sick. I said that for the reason there is no distance in the spirit. And if we could meet the Lord right now as he comes, stands in for his wife, we could expect God to move.
Amen.
We have to believe. We have to pray. We got to expect. Amen. He has an expectation of me and you. And I have an expectation of him. Let's pray together. Give me them hands. Father God, I thank you, Lord God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God. Father, as we have all sown and invested into your kingdom, Lord God. And Father God, I know you're looking for the opportunities to invest back into us, Lord. That we could see the increase, the floodgates of heaven open up and overflow. And right now, Almighty God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as those gates open up, Lord God, and the virtue of my Lord and Savior is departed to go to this sister, just like you did with the woman of the issue of blood, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Touch her, Lord God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, touch her, Lord God. Touch her. Heal in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can expect a very prompt change. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Give him glory.
If you're the, feel like the woman that just had the two mites, I'm not speaking finances. You say, Brother Rabbi, I don't got much to invest. Give it all then. And when you give you all to the Lord, he is going to bring such an increase to you. Brethren, the financial prosperity is the smallest part of this message tonight. Yeah, we need financial prosperity. You do, I do. We need God to be looking favorably to my substance. I don't want Him cutting my pockets out. But we can be faithful in tithing and still find our pockets being cut out because of an unfaithfulness in other places and in other areas. Amen. So let's perfect our investments. I'm thankful for the message tonight. And you say, I'm not. I say, then invest. Brother Noah, are you thankful for the message? Brother Manny, going to perfect some investments. Brother Gilbert. Ed?
Amen.
John? Burrell? Brother John? Why would the Lord put this on my heart? Why? Why would He press this into my spirit? For me. Amen. But He's pressing in for me that I could be a better example to you of investment. And if I could be a better example to you as investing my time and my life and my substance, then you could do the same.
Amen.
Don't expect people to do something without you showing them how to do it. That's why some of your marriages are failures. You bark at your wife, but once you show her what you want, invest into her life. Invest into her.
Amen.
And you'll see a reap. Amen. Amen. So, give, invest, love, and it'll come back shaken together. I mean, so mightily. Amen. God wants strong marriages, strong relationships. But if we want them, if they don't just happen. We make them, we create them. People got to come to a compatibility, Brother John, into a like mind. The woman has got to subject herself to the man and come into a oneness with him, just as well as I'm the woman, the bride of Christ, got to come into one with him. This other earthly thing is an allegory. And when a woman wrestles in her thoughts and her mind, and she's got another way and she don't want to subject or submit to this or to her husband, she's just invested into failure in the most miserable way. If a woman's investment hurts and she feels like it's all about somebody else, now you're talking about the investment in the kingdom. It's investing into others and other life and other people. And then you see the benefits come to you. And when you find them and see them, there's nothing like it. I'm telling you. And I'm going to say this. I had bought numerous brand new cars. When I was in the aviation world and business world and making money, I'd bought numerous brand new automobiles. But when I came to Bethlehem and was learning to deny myself and my skills and my abilities, and I was turning work away and turning jobs down, and I went to that police auction and I bought 5 automobiles that day, and I think I didn't have much money on me. I'm telling you. I think I had to borrow some. But I bought some cars for $5. Bought another car for $50. I bought a pickup truck for like, there was all just around. Nobody showed up at this police auction because it was freezing cold and rainy. And I mean sleeting ice. Freezing out there. Nobody showed. So I made some really nice purchases. And I turned those things and I started giving them away. Because God gave them to me and I started giving them away. I gave a pickup and a car away. I took another pickup and I bought 2 pickups. I pulled the engine out of one and stuck it in another one. See, I'm just talking about investment, brethren. I was investing my life in a church, in the kingdom of God, and I was denying myself. And there was times that I was sweating out to pay a light bill, Brother John, thinking, man, how's this going to happen? I know how to make it happen, go out there and work, but the preacher's pressing me. And I followed the Lord. Amen. And this is just one of the things that happened. It's just one of the countless things that took place on that day. But here's what I've said all that for was this reason. I drove a car that I bought for $50 at that auction. And I drove that car and I was more thankful for that car than the one that I had paid 20-some thousand for not too much earlier than that. Because I saw the supernatural hand of God in that $50 car. And I fixed that car. I was driving, but it had been in a DUI accident. He turned left and got the left front fender. And that's why the guy went to jail and lost his car. And I bought it from the police department. Had a King James Bible in the back seat. Can you believe that? But I gave that car away after I fixed it and drove it just for a few days. I gave it away. Got a pickup truck. I gave it away to a young couple who just got married. It was a crew cab pickup. But I gave it away. I sowed, Brother Manny. Invested into other people's lives. Started investing into people's lives. But I was in probably more need at that time in the financial aspect, Brother John, than I'd ever been in my entire life. But I learned some biblical principles. And I started sowing and giving and giving. And when you don't have and you give, that's when it gets God's attention.
And
when you have abundance and you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. Amen. Learn to sow. Learn to give. A lot farther than finances. Amen. Give your life. Make yourself available to God's kingdom. Amen. I love y'all and appreciate you. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's getting later, ain't it? Getting later. We'll get Brother Whitlow to dismiss us tonight. How'd y'all like that sound desk? Pretty nice, isn't it? I think, yeah, you sent me a picture. Showed it in action. I like to see that. Amen. So that's another sowing and investing in the kingdom of God. Took my time and skill, and I went over and worked and labored and made something to be utilized for the glory of God.
Amen.
To help maybe an old man, an old woman, that all their sowing days are done and gone. And maybe we could just invest in their life and comfort them in the final days of their life. Amen. Are we expecting to see them start producing? No, we're comforting them because they've already produced. Amen.
Amen.
Some of them were church-going folks. They loved the Lord and was faithful to the house of God. Now they're outcast and rejected. Their families don't even see some of them. And you can go over there and sow love into them and comfort them and tell them that they were appreciated. My father, 91 years old, and I took him to the veterans. And they brought these doctors and said, we don't have too many World War II vets around no more. We just come over to tell you thank you for your service. Amen. Appreciate what you've done. Even though he was nothing but a whoremonger over there, but still, they didn't know that. I love y'all. Who's closing this? Thank you. I better get out of here. I love you. Thank y'all for tuning in today. God bless you. Pray for me. Amen. Brother Whitlow. Amen. Appreciate you, brother. Amen. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.